Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with NFL Shop Europe. And we are sponsored by DraftKings.co.uk, your home of one-day fantasy sports. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, joined as ever by Jeff Rimebold. And we hope you had a great Christmas and you're still chilling out between Christmas and New Year. This is our last podcast of 2016, Jeff. And it's always I guess in life you do it as well. It's towards the end of the year, a little bit of a time to reflect.
Yeah, it's a little bit of time for a look back. But before you look back, look at yourself in the mirror. Now, you just eaten all that turkey and all that stuffing and drank all that eggnog. Get your butt up and do some push-ups and sit-ups.
Looking good, isn't I, Jeff, for that? Feeling good. This man girdle I've got on to hold all the belly in this.
How was that Bailey's that you were talking about?
You can't beat a bit of that. I don't know if I should have drunk as much as I did in the studio on Christmas Eve, but you got to get through it somehow, right? Let's have a look back at 2016, the calendar year, so not necessarily the season. And, Jeff, we'll go right back to the first month of it last year or into the second month, just about Peyton Manning riding off into the sunset. It was an incredible story in the end. I mean, we've talked about it in the past. Denver kind of won in spite of Peyton's play at quarterback last year. But there were a lot of times when he was audible in them into different plays in the playoffs. Maybe they don't do that and have that success if he's not in there. But very few get to call their own shot and walk away as a champion. And we were there in Santa Clara as Peyton Manning did that.
Yeah, you think about all the great athletes that you've seen in our lifetime, Neil, and how many of them have ever had the opportunity to play their last game in the biggest game, win it, and never set foot on the field again. I mean, it's almost a storybook ending. Mm. But if you're going to pick somebody that would have a storybook ending, it's got to be Peyton Manning.
Right. I remember you were up in the booth in the stadium. I was on the sidelines for that Super Bowl coverage. I remember sort of radioing up to you and saying, Peyton's arm looks really good early on, but then it didn't. He kind of didn't play as much of a factor. I guess he just avoided the big mistakes and stayed out of the defense's way when we look back.
Yeah, you know, when he threw that seam ball to Emmanuel in the first possession, I thought, he does look like she's sharp today. Mm. But I think it kind of caught up to him. That might have been an adrenaline throw early in the game, but he did what he needed to do so that his football team could win the game, and that was not turn it over, manage the game, stay ahead on the chains, and again, that's what great players do.
That Super Bowl had the fumble that Cam Newton didn't dive on, the Cam Newton post-game meltdown, which I guess still lingers around him today, doesn't it, Jeff? I think even now, as we come to the end of the year.
And that may be unfair, but that's the way it is, because when you are on the biggest stage and you have opportunities to, you have opportunities to make plays, and those are the defining, we talk all the time to the players about defining moments, and those were defining moments for the Carolina Panthers. All the great things that the Carolina Panthers did in 2016 are suddenly forgotten, behind or underneath a strip sack for a touchdown early in the game, a fumble that he doesn't get on late in the game, and then an unfortunate situation in the media room afterwards where he actually hears the Broncos celebrating their game plan and how they were going to, yada yada, force him to win the game.
Yeah.
Do you understand the reaction? Yes. Are you disappointed by the reaction? Yes. But again, you can understand it.
I still think, as I look back, Jeff, and we are kind of reflecting on the year, the not diving on that fumble, and it might have just been where he was frozen in time and couldn't think what to do or get on the ball. Not diving on that fumble, to me, sticks more than the sulkiness afterwards.
Yeah, I think so. And it's unfortunate because here's a guy, you cannot question the guy's courage.
No.
I mean, you watch the way he plays on the goal line. He gets hit and helicoptered up into the air and score a touchdown. I think he froze. I think, honestly, he just froze. Mm-hmm. And here's two is something that, and because you've been on the practice field. Anytime there's a fumble on the practice field, the immediate reaction of the coaches is, don't go to the ground.
Right.
You never
want
to go to the
ground.
Whistles blow, and there's no, you don't want guys diving on the ball. Well, think about that. what does that train? That trains you.
Yeah, that muscle memory.
You know, the defensive players down on the defensive side of the field, when they're going through their station agilities and their tackling circuit and all that stuff, they'll have fumble recovery drills.
Yeah.
But you don't have fumble recovery drills for the offense. No. As a matter of fact, in practice, you don't want to, especially the quarterback.
Quarterback would have been told all summer, don't go anywhere near
it. Don't reach for it. Don't go down there.
So the Broncos won Super Bowl 50. And then as we moved into the offseason, Jeff, and free agency came about in March, there was a raiding of the Broncos, and it started, I was in the Sky Sports News studios on the opening night of free agency. We were doing a couple of hours where I was going to update on all the signings from around the NFL, the opening night of the big signing window. And about 10 minutes before free agency period opened, this news started to break that Brock Osweiler was going to be heading to the Houston Texans. And I thought, oh boy, here we go, because what's your plan B? And the plan B originally was Mark Sanchez. They moved on then to draft Paxton Lynch. But it felt like they didn't have another option after Brock Osweiler. But then as that night unfolded and as the days unfolded, they lost Malik Jackson. They lost Danny Trevathan. And we've seen this year teams have been able to run the ball on the Denver Broncos.
Well, you know what? It's the natural progression in the game with the free agency the way it is today and the salary cap the way it is today. When you win a championship, first of all, everybody in the organization is waiting for their opportunity to take a bow. Mm. And the players are all waiting for them to be remunerated for winning the championship.
Yep.
And it's, you know, again, you've got a salary cap that only allows you to spend so much. So the guy with all the headaches is the general manager and the personnel guy and the head coach, because they've got to somehow juggle all of these different demands, and you can't keep everybody. Mm-hmm. And you've got to try and, you know, do what's best for your football team. And, you know, you look at the results of what happened. Would you say that they missed Malik Jackson? Absolutely. They brought in Jared Crick. Good player, not an impact player like Malik Jackson was for him last year.
Brock Osweiler was reportedly offered a $16 million per year deal by the Broncos. He got $18 million with the Houston Texans. John Elway wasn't willing to go any higher in terms of what he offered. John Elway knows a bit or two about playing quarterback. Has he been vindicated in not paying that money to Brock Osweiler because Osweiler ended up getting benched by Houston? Or do we look at Denver's quarterback play and say, either way, John, you've kind of either failed or you're in a down year for sure?
Well, I would look at it as a push, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you went out and got Mark Sanchez, and he's now playing third string quarterback for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You lost Brock Osweiler, who, say what you want about Brock Osweiler, when he was in your system, he was a serviceable quarterback.
Yep.
Now, you put it on Paxton Lynch, he's not ready for it yet. And so, you know, again, I think he will be a guy. But now looking forward, do you say, do we go out and spend big cash, because it's going to cost big cash, to go after a free agent who may be out there, or a Tony Romo, or do you just say, we're going to live with the growth and development of what we have here in the building?
And I guess we've got to see how it plays out, because if Romo somehow engineers a release from Dallas, and Jerry Jones might do right by him and say, go and pick where you want to play, here's your opportunity, we're going to release you, thank you for everything, have your pick of the NFL, then I think he's expensive. If they end up trading Tony Romo, his contract for next year is about $15 million, which is not, when you look, if Brock Osweiler is getting 18, you'd be happy to pay 15 for Romo if he stays healthy.
Yeah, again, you can never forecast what Jerry Jones is going to do. Mm. But if you just look at it from a strictly football decision, Tony Romo is an asset.
Yeah, you're going to try and get something,
you've
right?
You've got to get something from him. Draft picks, something, all right? Mm. So I would think that his value, they will keep his value. I cannot see them releasing him and letting him go as a free agent on the open market. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we talked a couple of quarterbacks there, Jeff, and I just wonder if some of our listeners fancy themselves as a Dak Prescott or a Tom Brady. With the new X-Ball from Wilson, you can train like the pros. This is the world's first smart football. It's used on Thursday nights. The Wilson X-Ball connects to an app on your phone, provides real-time accurate data, speed of throw, efficiency of spiral, distance, and whether the pass was caught or incomplete. You can get your Wilson X Smart Ball today at europe.nflshop.com. Jeff, go on.
I can't compare myself to Dak Prescott or any of those guys, but I'm 5'9", so I can Doug Flutie.
Yeah, well, okay, I think you can sling it. I've seen you throw it. You know, you throw a lot of passes on the practice field. You've got to be able to throw a football if you're going to
coach. Well, I tell you what, this shoulder's starting to wear out too often.
You coach 30 years in professional football, you're going to have to be able to throw a pass or two. We talked about Romo there, Jeff. It has been a year of injuries. When you look around the NFL, I mean, I think we could genuinely make up a team. You know, right to recently where Harrison Smith's gone down to early in the season, losing J.J. Watt for the whole year, Adrian Peterson for much of the year, Tony Romo. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people across
Tyler
the
Eifert's league. Been in and out of the lineup. You see guys hurt all over the place. And not just guys. You're talking about frontline players.
I think that's been the difference this year. It feels like superstars. You know, the big people you want to hang your hat on have not been there for a large part of the year.
Yeah, and that's really debilitating for a football team. When you have your linchpin guys, the guys that, you know, if you just view it from a financial standpoint, you know, you got a lot of money invested in a guy that's not producing at all for you, and you can't cut them when they're hurt. You got to pay them. And now, again, there's that factor. And then you go into it, too, with, you know, you just cannot replace, like, when Janoris Jenkins went down, if he's down for any period of time, that's going to seriously affect the Giants in the playoffs and you know, hopefully a Super Bowl run if you're a Giants fan, because you just can't find number one corners walking on the street.
Does this knock that whole 18-game regular season on the head, Jeff?
I think it's going to be one of the things that the competition committee is going to have to talk about because, you know, they're doing everything, I think, in their power to try and make the game as safe as they can make it for the players. They've cut way back on OTAs. The speed of the coaching sessions now is completely different. You know, when I would go to the Rams or Kansas City when Coach Vermeil was coaching and I'd spend mini camp with them, and they would be out there in those little rubber, they're called
shells, right?
Underneath their shoulder pads, I mean, underneath their jerseys, and a helmet on. And I swear to God, Neil, it was full speed. It was full speed. Now they've backed way off of that, and they have this is really kind of cool thing that I don't know if the listeners really have a sense for. Every practice facility in the NFL has to have video monitoring. So the weight room, all of the practice facilities that they can tune into in New York and actually watch your team work out.
Well, yeah, but especially in minicamps, we've seen teams lose draft picks. Seattle did it recently, didn't
they? Seattle's twice gotten nailed.
Because you can't have players going up against each other at certain times of the year as they ease back into action.
Yeah, and again, when it's to the point now where two players cannot approach each other at any faster than walk pace, right? In some of the off-season stuff they do, and, you know, and I saw Atlanta, you know, was kind of put under the microscope a little bit of that too. And where do they come out of? They come out of the Pete Carroll school, you know. And Pete Carroll doesn't practice long, but he practices extremely fast.
Yeah, always a lot of competition as well, isn't there, within their practices? One of the things that comes up, Jeff, is, well, you know, players. There's a few players that grumble about a potential 18-game season. There's players that grumble about Thursday night football, but then there's also players that recognize the revenues are flowing in like never before in the NFL. The salary cap next year could be up to $170 million.
You know what? That is such a great point that you bring up. I heard Richard Sherman's diatribe about Thursday night football. And frankly, I agree with him. I really do agree with him. Because I don't think the short weeks are healthy for the players. But I have never once, since they said the salary cap was going to go up again, heard a player complaining about that.
Right. It's all part of that. Yeah, the pie goes up. They get a bigger percentage of it. And Demaurice Smith was on American radio last week. Kind of, I thought he'd be, because he's the head of the Players Association, I thought he would be firmly in the players' corner. And he was like, well, you know what, Thursday Night Football offers this amount of dollars to give us a chance to play. You know, obviously, potential for more games would give you a chance to earn more dollars. But I think if you have more games, you've got to either have bigger rosters, or you've got to say each player can only play 16 regular season games. But then that's difficult, because imagine we're coming into week 17 and the Detroit Lions have used up all 16 of Matthew Stafford's starts.
Yeah.
How are you going to manage that? You can't do that, can you?
No. I just think that where there is place to trim is in the preseason.
Right.
Because the reality of it is...
They're all sitting out the stars now. They scrimmage in camp, and they're not...
So, if you want to cut back on the hits, cut back in on the preseason games. Now, the coaches will all say that, well, the quality of the game is going to suffer. Mm. Well, I don't know if I buy into that, because they have so much time with these guys now. And you've got OTAs, coaching sessions, mini camps. Mm. Everything is computerized now. I mean, the players they film the meetings and load them on the players' iPads,
right.
The players can go back in the evening at their own home and watch the meeting that they had that afternoon. So it's not 1968 anymore. And again, some of that training camp stuff is still a vestige of the old NFL.
Right. Jeff, one of the stories as we got into, just talking about training camp, I can't wait to go, can you? Well, no, and I love it every year. And I'm reflecting now as I'm looking back on the year on the trip I made in the summer. It was amazing.
Did you see this season coming the way it unfolded?
No, I didn't see Carolina falling away like they have. I didn't see Arizona falling away.
Did you see the Dolphins having the kind of year?
No. That's one of the good points there, Jeff, because when I was out at some of the training camps, everyone has hope at that time of year, and you see everyone believing.
You're right.
And I was in Minnesota, and I was with those guys, and they said, we've got something special going on. And the Vikings opened up 5-0. Mm-hmm. They were the last undefeated team in the NFL this season, and it all fell away. But look at some of the downtrodden teams that have risen up. Last year, these teams finished in last place in their division. The Miami Dolphins, the Tennessee Titans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Dallas Cowboys. They've all had turnaround years, and then also with losing records last year, Oakland and Detroit.
Yeah, I think this is again validation of what the NFL wants, which is everybody having an opportunity to be competitive. And in most professional sports leagues, the opportunity to go from worst to first rarely exists. In the National Football League, it is a possibility. And that's one of the reasons why fans and players and coaches can have hope every year.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in a place without a quarterback, not so much hope. Mm. But,
Jeff, in 5 days last year, I started off in Indianapolis. You know my travel schedule, right?
I shake my head every time I hear about it.
Flew into Chicago, drove to Indianapolis, filmed with the Colts, drove to Cincinnati, filmed with the Bengals, flew to Minneapolis, filmed with the Vikings, flew to Los Angeles, filmed with the Rams. That night, flew back on a red eye to Washington, landed at like 6:30 in the morning, filmed with the Redskins, and then flew on another red eye back to London. I was literally a broken man. I got on the plane, and I was just like sucking my thumb and curled up, crying myself to sleep. It was fantastic, though. I loved it.
You know what? Whoever is the travel agent for you should get arrested for cruel and unusual punishment.
Every time you feel a little bit tired, you stop at a coffee shop, get a coffee, and then look out on the field and see all those NFL players running around.
Because I tell you, I love ball, but I don't know about that.
The one to head you into retirement. We didn't see the Dallas Cowboys having quite the turnaround. I mean, there was all hand-wringing over the late summer when Tony went down with the back injury. We kind of liked what we saw with this Dak Prescott kid, but we had to say, wait till we get into the regular season. Those two young stars of...
Everybody just kept waiting for the kid to stub his toe.
Yeah.
And he had the little blip on the radar. I think it was week 14 against the Giants.
Yep.
And boy, did the...
The stuff hit the fan.
The stuff hit
Let me stop you there.
There was a stuff storm in Dallas. And a lot of it was created by the Cowboys themselves or the owner of the Cowboys. But, I was like incredulous, because I'm thinking to myself, the guy's got you to 11-2.
Yeah.
And you're talking about benching him?
Mm.
because he had one subpar. I wouldn't even say a bad game. He had one subpar game. And lo and behold, what do? They stay with him.
Yep.
And he comes back and he sets, I think,
four incompletions he had against the Bucks.
The all-time record, the second highest completion percentage in the history of the National Football League.
Right, there you go.
That's a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of games.
Jerry knows how to push those buttons.
Oh, now I get it.
No, he's not that smart, is he? He's not that smart.
When I heard that get floated out, I was like, oh my God.
Do not give Jerry Jones that much credit. He was not thinking about that. In fact, he wasn't thinking at all when he was making those comments.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was quite upset at having to sit out the first 4 weeks of the season. Jeff,
he took it out on the league, too.
He has, hasn't he? I mean, he has, really has. What about the disappointments? I talked about Carolina, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Would they be the biggest ones for you as you look across the league?
Yeah, when you look
Denver at them. Slid back as well.
I think Cincinnati has to, got to throw them in that pile. I think, you know, you say that that's a team that had good enough football team to make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And the roster certainly says it is. Mm. The Broncos, you know, a disappointing season for them. By Super Bowl champions, Carolina. Mm. Arizona, you know, as you go through Buffalo really made noise like they might have a chance to make some hay in that division and certainly didn't. The Jets were close to a playoff team a year ago and really just stunk it up down the stretch.
Jeff, as we look across the whole of 2016, that Jets saga rumbled from start to finish. It seemed like every time we were like, well, they must be signing Ryan Fitzpatrick soon. Well, they're going to sign Fitzpatrick. And they left it so long that I think they created unhealable animosity between him and the team.
I think, and then it was made worse by the fact he didn't play well early. Mm. And so now you've got all the, you know, all that animosity, and then you've got the situation with Geno, and you know, he's not happy, and then he gets a chance, then he gets hurt, and then Bryce Petty at the end, and the defense just... I mean, the defense just went out the window at the end, back half of the season. You know, and Todd, to his credit, you know, put it on himself. But, you know, that's a really worrisome situation because that's a team that's got some age on it now, too.
All right, let's just finish up, Jeff, with a little look at London games in 2016 and ahead to 2017. When it comes to 2017, season ticket renewals went until December the 28th. So if you're listening to this around that time, you might be able to get in just in time. But season tickets will be available for new buyers in January. We'll announce that date soon on NFLUK.com. And if you want to register your interest for one of the single game tickets so you can get priority access, you can do that at ticketmaster.co.uk/NFL. Jeff, we had three very competitive games this year, all three games in London decided by just one score. And in 2017, we get four games. There's no slowing of the momentum here.
No, but I heard that the NFL Head Coaches Association is filing a grievance against the London games because you come over here, you get whacked. I mean, Jeff Fisher, gone. Gus Bradley, gone.
Joe Philbin,
gone.
Dennis Allen,
gone.
You want to show? Must be something in the water.
You know what? I
think they get uninspired having to talk to me at the fan rallies. They lose their mojo for the rest of the year. It's like, seriously? This is how bad it's got?
You know what? Wasn't it cool, though, when you did the interview with Spielman and he talked about the Regent Street experience?
Right.
I am going to, at some point, be a part of that because I just think that is I watched that back in the States and you know, it's a phenomenon. I mean, it is a phenomenon. I can't even think of what it's like anywhere other than a Super Bowl.
No. And Jeff, we just talked throughout this podcast. This year I've been at the Super Bowl. I've been at the training camps of seven NFL teams, but those London weekends are the favorite things for me because I look out and I see just incredible fan support for the NFL from British fans. And coming from the days when we were covering NFL Europe, working in it, I know, and people always say, well, you always hark back to that, but it was real. It was a struggle here at times. And if you're a new fan,
If you're a fan who's come into the NFL in the last 5, 6, 7 years, all you've known is games being played here.
Yeah.
It's not always been that way, trust me.
And I'm going to tell you something. We have to really appreciate how blessed we are to get 4 games.
Mm.
You know, Toronto is, you know, an hour and 15 minutes from Buffalo. And a good percentage of the Buffalo Bills season ticket base is located in southern Ontario.
Mm.
And they tried to put international games in Toronto, and it failed miserably because they couldn't put on the show that we're able to put on here in London. I swear, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. You will not find a better football environment. I'm talking about the whole thing around the game.
The whole weekend of it.
Other than the Super Bowl. The Pro Bowl certainly doesn't have it.
No.
The NFL playoffs don't have it. The regular season doesn't have it. If you can't get to a Super Bowl and you want to experience a Super Bowl environment,
yeah,
come to the games in London.
Get to one of them. And you've got 4 of them this year coming up, 2017, 2 at Twickenham and 2 at Wembley Stadium. Jeff, we are out of time for 2016. I think we both always appreciate so much the listeners. It's been an incredible 2016. So many highs. I've had the lowest of lows this year as well. But doing this podcast, being able to talk football with you and with everyone, that certainly helped at the time. We're just very, very blessed and lucky to do what we do.
Yeah, we are. And I tell you what, it's an opportunity at the end of the year to look back and with gratitude in your heart, particularly to the listeners, because this podcast has become the most listened to podcast outside of the United States, NFL podcast outside of the United States, and that's about the listeners.
Because we just make it up as we go along. It's absolutely about them, Jeff.
But I really think that the listeners have shown a continued appetite for more and more and more and more. And, you know, one of the great things about the NFL UK and the NFL in the UK is that they listen and they pay attention. And that's why we've gone from, just a podcast during the season to once a week during the year. And
little birdie tells me 2 per week from January, Jeff. You heard that?
Right?
My sources are telling me.
Well, if they're your sources, they're well-placed sources.
We'll be busier as we go towards the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then after the Super Bowl, we've got all that to digest.
Right.
Free agency
combine,
coming, the draft, the combine, all of
never
it.
Never stops, does it?
There
never
is no off-season.
All right, so for the last time in 2016, we wish all of you a very happy new year and good wishes for 2017. Say goodbye, Jeff.
Aloha.